Previously on Worlds Away.
Nasir has become reckless, impulsive, and forgotten how to show restraint. But what are you doing here?
When Nasir, when you four decided to do this press conference, I didn't have much of a choice. No one was going to believe you if there wasn't somebody from Aventine backing your story.
Your face is everywhere in one of the most surveilled places in the Verge. I hope you can keep it hidden.
You fucker.
The vote of no confidence that was scheduled for President Lee has now been postponed. And actually, Sasha Green has been named acting director of the Minerva Project.
Ooh, that's our girl!
Congratulations, director.
The way I see it, the mission of this project, our mission, hasn't changed. We were told to find out what's happening to the Lustra and the Verge, and to stop it.
We can more or less track them. Stopping them, well, we're sort of building this ship as we fly it.
I'm also interested in finding a way to destroy these things once and for all.
The reason that Ramon Herrera stood up for us is because we knew each other on Aventine. He's my husband.
Every act of rebellion expresses a nostalgia for innocence.
It's a quote by the philosopher Albert Camus.
I've never seen a blackmail message that quoted a 20th century philosopher before.
For the record, this is why I do not date.
Why do I know Amir Brennan?
He was the lead physicist on Genesis' attempt to solve the propagation problem, and is one of another third on our prize.
I'm not eliminating the possibility that there is sapient life out there. But do you really think they spoke to Leela while she was indexing in a vision with a coma patient?
The situation does not lend itself to be credible. If we know for a fact it's not Earth, and we know for a fact it's not Aventine, at what point does Occam's razor whittle away all other possibilities?
Arno, you've served with me for almost a decade now. If there's one thing you should have taken away from that, it is that I and FSOC are nobody's pawns. What kind of alternative did you think we had?
Arno ignores the question and doesn't flinch and replies, "We're playing into somebody's hand and we don't even know who they are."
"You're referring to this ghost ship?"
He just stares.
"The only evidence supporting your view of this was found on a slate in the home of an Aventine dissident, easily planted, and on a ship you received a distress signal from on an open channel just before you were attacked by an Aventine vessel lying in wait."
"You think it's Aventine?"
"It does seem the simplest explanation."
"Ma'am, I'm not important enough for anyone in the Republic to give a damn about me taking responsibility for what comes next. But I'm going to do my duty anyway. For now, we'll have to settle for resetting the board and sending everyone back to their corners."
"I've never cared for describing war as a game. I've put too many flags on coffins to think that way. A new chance for peace. I hope you're right about that, Arno. I really do. But either way, as of today, you are no longer a part of FSOC, Mr. Hines. And once your assignment to the Minerva Project is finished, you will no longer be a part of the fleet as well." And I think with that, before you can respond, we see her reach forward and then the screen on your end goes black.
Oh, shit.
I bet he's going to start wearing the jacket.
Thank you.
So at this point, where do we find Leela?
I think we find Leela back in her cabin on the Valiant. And I think she is, previously I had said that she had written up kind of a description of what happened in the indexing session that she had set up to send to Mickey in case anything happened. I think at this point she has turned that off. She doesn't need that going out quite yet, but she is going to start to, you know, try to just compile any other information that she can think of and maybe start to do some basic research on just, you know, what could be out there. So I think we find her just sort of on her slate.
So if I may interrupt, I think you just hear like a knock.
I think Leela looks up and just says, "It's open."
I come in, but I sort of stand near the doorway.
And I guess let me ask, like, what is the state of your cabin right now on the Valiant, Leela?
I don't think Leela has a bunch of, like, stuff. She has art that she's put on the walls and she has her art supplies. But other than that, there's not really much else in her cabin. I think you usually see that she has an easel or a sketch pad out or something kind of set up. But right now, I don't think you see any art supplies out at all. And maybe that's unusual.
I spoke with Mara earlier. And if I'm being candid, I told Arno most of the information just before our last mission.
I think Leela's eyes narrow a little bit, but she nods as if to tell Nasir to keep going.
I'm checking in with everybody to see how they're doing. And I'm particularly checking in with you, not just about the recent information, but about everything you experienced. I think noticing the room is sort of drab, the way Leela described it, like compared to Leela's room normally, like stuff's put away. I'll look around after I ask my question and then I'll just say, "Do you want to go grab a coffee or tea or something? Get off the ship."
I think Leela contemplates that for a moment and then says, "You know, I think that's a pretty good idea." And then she'll kind of get up and go to one of the drawers and grab a hat. I think it's kind of baseball cap-ish, kind of like it has a visor and it's utilitarian. And she's going to put it on her head and then say, "It might be good to be a bit incognito. Don't want to attract more attention."
"Of course. I will meet you in the hangar bay."
So where do we see you all headed on Ascension Station then?
So I think first you see how we're dressed.
Okay.
Because we're like incognito. I think Nasir's probably got his hair in like a messy bun and just it's gotten a little bit longer, but just trying to like look different than he would normally look, and is wearing like essentially a cardigan and slacks. As casual as a dad in the fall.
Fall dad vibes. I think Leela is just kind of wearing leggings and a t-shirt and, you know, is very dressed down as well. And then the baseball cap kind of covers up. She's got her hair in a bun, so you can't see the bright blue peeking out very much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's got the baseball cap on.
So what I'm thinking of is the coffee shop's name is like
Stardust.
Well, I'm thinking it's like a French cafe, French, quote unquote, like a patisserie. And it's like cafe, like
Dumont.
I was thinking Dumont, but not literally Dumont, like Dumont's of the world. So it's like of the
go ahead. Cafe des Etoiles, cafe of the stars.
I love that.
There we go.
I love that.
I do speak French, so that helps.
Yeah. So what is it? Des étoiles. Sorry to our French listeners. So I think we're at the Cafe of the Stars, but it's French. And I like, we're probably sitting, I think we're, it's probably like a green space, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like on the edge of a green space within the station. And
a park.
We're sort of like,
so by the park. Park. Yeah.
And we're like sitting at a small like cafe table outside.
Would we want to be outside or would we want to be inside?
That's a great question. We're sitting at a small cafe table by the window.
Yeah, I'm imagining the cafe of the, amongst the stars or in the stars has a large window such that you could actually, you know.
Yeah, see out.
Look out into the stars. Yeah,
just,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Just saying.
It's right there.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, if it's by the park, which we kind of described as the one green space, maybe it's on like a corner and the sort of whole back of the cafe. And also, even if you're kind of outside, maybe it like wraps around an edge. So there are tables that are up against the outer windows of the station. Mm-hmm. So you can see into the park, but also you have this sort of full star view.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's awesome. So how are you with everything?
I think when we see Leela and Nasir, I think they're both holding on to their drink, like they have their drinks in front of them, and maybe Leela has a croissant, but I don't think she's really touching either. I think she looks up at Nasir and says, I guess I'm still getting used to your not dead husband. How are you feeling about this whole blackmail situation?
It was a possibility the moment I stepped foot on the station. And I think I'll like pick up a cannelé from my plate and take a bite of it and then make a little bit of a face and put the cannelé back down.
I think Leela says that and says, not as good as they make on Satis.
No, unfortunately, we had that lovely baker arrested for espionage and conspiracy against the Republic.
I think Leela grimaces and just says, it all kind of makes sense how wound up and tense you've been this whole time. I can't imagine what it's like holding on to a secret like that for that long.
You know, if I'm being honest, this is the first time since I returned to Earth that I've been able to talk to anyone about it. Ma knew, but friendship was never Ma's game.
I think Leela kind of nods understandingly.
So, how are you feeling about everything that you experienced?
Well, I know it's hard to believe, but I stand by it. I just don't even know where to start.
I meant when I said that it isn't abnormal for people who've tried Sinsa to have visions or experiences, particularly when they dream for weeks or months, even after trying Sinsa for the first time, or even subsequent uses. Is it possible that what you saw was the result of inopportune indexing circumstances and an expanded mind?
I think as soon as Nasir started this sentence, Leela has stiffened and she kind of has reached down to the croissant on her plate and started kind of tearing it up a little bit. When he reaches the end of his question, I think she looks up and says, I told you this wasn't a hallucination. And then I think she says, just because you've been lying to everyone for years doesn't give you the right to make me doubt my own sanity. And for the record, this is my new hook. When challenged, I react poorly.
Leela, I don't believe that you're not sane, nor do I believe you're lying about what you experienced. I also barely understand indexing. You're saying that it wasn't a hallucination, but doesn't every aspect of indexing happen entirely in the mind?
I think Leela is going to stand up and say, listen, if you want to know what it's like, you're more than welcome to do a session with me. But I am not going to sit here and try to justify myself to you. And then I think she's going to just grab her bag and walk out of the cafe.
So let me ask this. Nasir, what do we kind of see on your face, or how do you react to Leela just walking out of the cafe?
I mean, I think you see me looking a little dejected at the table. Well, that went well.
So I think maybe when you say that, maybe you're kind of looking down, and I think on the table, your slate buzzes. And when you go and look at it, there's another message on that from an unknown number. I think it's actually a different number from the first one you received, but I think you can infer that's from the same person or group who sent you the video from inside Mateo's apartment. The message says, you lied to stop a war. What I'm asking now is to prevent another from starting. I assume this is obvious, but do not tell anyone about the weapons, like the one you found on Feronia. People who are threatened behave unpredictably. Now is the time for calm. If you're willing to cooperate, I want you to return to the library you frequent, and I want you to borrow 3 books. Which 3 are up to you, but the first letters of their titles should spell the first letters of the system where that device is currently located. Perhaps I already know this information, or perhaps I don't. Either way, if you want to keep the peace, you need to trust me, and I need to know that you're willing to listen. What do you do after receiving this message, Nasir?
The first thing I do is send a message to the other members of the Minerva Project, minus Director Green.
Mm-hmm.
I need to speak with you all immediately.
At this point, I'd like to jump in and do the ship payment move, and then also decide on the upgrades for the Valiants and the party. So as always, to determine the modifier for this, we're going to start at -1 and then go through each of the major factions in the game and see how they felt about events of the last arc. We'll add 1 if they liked what happened and subtract 1 if they disliked it, or leave it at 0 for neutral.
I'm really excited. I think this is our first chance at a clean sweep and pissing off everybody in one go.
I think there's some. I think you have at least 1 positive, and I'd say at least 2 positives.
I think there's 1. I don't know about 2.
Okay. So to begin, maybe we'll ask how the Minerva Project itself feels about the last mission. And I think that last time, because of the disruption that we caused, instead of looking to Shaw, we had considered that the Minerva Project is more the spirit of the crew and kind of the 4 of you, but looking at how that is reflected as you try to complete your original mission. So kind of hunting down whatever's affecting the Lustra and the Verge. So Lauren, do you want to kick us off with that and give us your take?
I think that on one hand, our mission, right, is to, like, we've never been more successful in the ability to, like, find the devices, right? And we have 1 on hand. I'm going to study it. What technologies follow? TBD. So I feel like we have a lot of power in that area. But interpersonally, the Mateo bomb drop, even, you know, just that conversation that was just had between Leela and Nasir, I don't think we're doing super great as a squad. Taking everything, like blending it up, is kind of a neutral, but I'm happy to say if anyone has any strong feelings about positive or negative, I'm happy to entertain those.
Yeah, does anyone have other thoughts on that?
I mean, I was kind of leaning positive because we made progress on our, you know, scientific side of the mission.
Right.
So
you got like 1 neutral, 1 lean positive. Mike Mo, what are you thinking?
I mean, I think it's positive. Our original mission of stopping the disappearing Lustra, we captured a device. We found out more about the ship. We probably gained more information about Lustra disappearing and everything in this than in any other thing except last time. I think of it as like overwhelmingly positive.
That's fair.
What about you, Mike?
I think I'm on team neutral. I think, like, on paper for the mission, I agree with you, Mo. I'm just wondering if, like, the crew having been attacked now by an Aventine warship at this point, if we're not, like, questioning, like, how dangerous the situation has become. Like, the four of us knew that this was a situation that was going to be really sensitive, but now it's just, like, we're exposing we're exposing everybody who's touching this project and to some level of danger, and I don't know if they're super high on that or look at that as, like, a big win. It was fine when everything was, when we were learning things under the cover of, like, the public nature of the project. And so I wonder if, like, the change in the tension over here takes me from, like, positive to neutral.
All right. Well, it seems like we have a 2-2 split. Maybe I'll be the tiebreaker playing the role of Sasha Green. But I think that, you know, I will tip it toward the positive, I think.
Yeah, our girl got a promotion.
She's still eating pizza, though. We got to, like, diversify that diet. Like, you just can't do this.
Yeah, we'll see. We get her some mac and cheese next time, but in the blue box. But yeah, I mean, I think that just everything that was said about what you discovered, I think that those are strong points. And we're often so hard on ourselves on these votes that, you know, I'll tip it to getting a positive on this roll. So we'll give it a plus one. Next is Evelyn Lee and the Doves. Anyone have an immediate take on that?
Super positive. She's still in office.
Yeah, saved her job and, like, took a huge swing at her biggest political rival and the point that he's under investigation and was recalled to his home planet. Yeah, she is high-fiving a million angels.
Everyone agreed on that?
Yep.
All right, so that's another plus one for Evelyn Lee and the Doves. What about the Fleet and the Hawks?
I'll let Arno speak. I'll let Mike speak to this one.
No, I think Admiral Mendoza kind of spoke for that one. This is an easy neg.
Yeah. All right. Any disagreement?
Nope.
All right. Yeah. That's fair. And then how about Aventine?
I think Kyros is not happy. I don't think that Aventine is happy with us.
Is it safe to assume that by Aventine, we mean the faction currently in control of Aventine's government?
I think that's probably fair to say.
Okay.
Or that's how we've kind of construed it previously.
Yeah.
Then there's hell up. They're fleet level pissed.
Quite angry.
Yeah. I mean, if we look at the people who lost their jobs because of this, Arno and Ramon, I mean, we're presuming that Ramon lost his job. We didn't actually get that on camera.
Whoa. Don't forget Captain Shen.
Okay. Yeah. Never forget he.
Already did.
Oh. Wait, Marvin?
You can only beam me into one of my NPCs per arc, Mo.
Don't worry, I'll be mean on the other arc or the other NPC.
Okay.
I'm glad that we balanced out.
Suffice to say, negative.
All right.
Yeah, the Angie.
What about the rest of the Verge?
I think the rest of the Verge is pissed at everyone but us.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, the rest of the Verge towards the Minerva project, pretty positive.
Hmm.
I think, okay, I actually feel very strongly about this. I think it's really, really positive. And I think that the Minerva Project may have, and I don't know if we're quite there yet, but, like, made the case that in the ongoing, like, war of propaganda flying from, like, the Republic and from Aventine about, like, who's doing what and who's the bad guy and stuff like that, did we just shit on both sides? Yeah. Is that the most credible thing anyone has done since, like, the war ended? Maybe. Who knows? Does that mean that we're automatically good? No, but we did just take a shit on our own government over here, despite the fact that we could have just given them the advantage and, like, said, look, isn't Aventine so bad? Like, we didn't just take that opportunity.
I think that we are the most trusted brand in the Verge right now.
Yeah.
I am, like, willing to go that far.
No, I think that's right. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's as positive as when you did the speech and on Eos and saved Reef Kasarek, but you're definitely in plus territory here.
So did we just argue ourselves into three pluses?
Three pluses, but you did also get two minuses. And
two
so combined
huge
with
minuses.
Where we start, I think that does leave you at a plus or minus zero again, unfortunately. But Mike, I'm going to nominate you this time. Go ahead and give me 2d6, straight roll.
Wait.
And then we're going to see what kind of upgrades we're working with.
We were three pluses and two minuses, yeah?
Yeah,
we started at -1.
Oh, got it.
Honestly, I should have just made it zero at this rate, given how hard we are on ourselves for this. But
I
just don't know why every mission ends up with pissing off Aventine and the Hawks.
Because you made them fascists. Metemically, they just like don't like things. Roll, Michael.
Come. Jesus.
A six. Oof. All right.
Oof.
Well.
Why would I expect anything else?
Yeah. I mean, I think if there's a time to fail, maybe this is it. But not ideal, but I think you still have options.
Time to succeed and a time to fail.
So for show of support, on a six or less, will some acknowledge your efforts, many others do not. And I guess that's Aventine and the Hawks. So you can either choose one from the list, or you can choose two. And then at the start of your next mission, mark one additional burn on the fourth estate fuse.
So I know we've done a lot of let's take the L for the sake of making the narrative more interesting. I would like to not make the narrative more interesting in this case by letting that fuse exhaust and like Mo's scandal be the thing that turns everybody against the Minerva Project right now.
Yeah,
that's my appeal.
The thing is that like also like this is really bad. Like this fail is actually catastrophic because there's damage to the Valiant for the first time. Right.
That's
like
true.
This is actually real. And like we don't have our stealth. Like this is really bad, actually.
Yeah.
Great.
I guess the thing about the fourth estate fuse that I will just say is like, if you're like, oh, there are two things that we need to do on this list. Like, oh, we want to fix the Valiant and we want to get the stealth system. The consequence of that is, oh, you have disadvantage on the next show of support role. So it's kind of like, you can't do worse than a six on the next one. And if the point is that you want to like, and I realize I'm kind of thinking about this very mechanically, but it's like, oh, if you think you need the upgrades now, you know, that's why that rule exists, is for you to take the upgrades now. And maybe that puts you in a worse spot later, but it's kind of like, oh, if you need it now, maybe you need it now.
So my take actually, Mike, is that if there's anything that's going to turn public perception against us, it might be this. So narratively, to me, it kind of makes sense that this is going to be the thing that, you know, ticks the final, like basically our next arc is going to be the thing that kind of burns the final fuse. And I do agree. I would like to repair the ship. So,
yeah, I think we take two. I think we build the cell system and we repair the ship and we just have disadvantage on our next roll. And that's fine. Right. Like, I would rather do them both now than not do either of them late. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we actually can't repair the ship and stop the fuse from burning. So we might as well burn an extra tick on the fuse and just go for it and also get the stealth system right now. Because we have disadvantage next time no matter what if we repair the ship, period. There isn't a narrative consequence to the fourth estate being against us, correct?
I mean, the way I see it is it's like you're under more scrutiny. So I think if something narratively like plays into that, then that's what we'll see. You know, I don't think it's automatically like I'm going to make a move as the GM, if that makes sense. It's just that it's like, you're under more scrutiny, and when we kind of do these, like the show of support role, it's like maybe people are kind of taking a harder look at you, and that's how I view the disadvantage.
Got it.
Okay. So are we agreed that we're going to burn an extra fuse at the beginning? So is it okay if I go ahead and mark the burn now?
Yeah, I think okay. You just go ahead and mark that.
Okay, then, we are now disfavored.
Yeah. All right. Uh-oh. And then, I mean, it seemed like there were suggestions of repair the Valiant and also take the stealth systems. Is that where everybody's at?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to describe the stealth systems yet if we're going to take that, because I have an idea for that maybe for the beginning of, for the next episode. But go ahead and check that off then.
So just to clarify, we had two of the three slots that we needed for the stealth system. So we're spending our third, we're getting the third piece of it. So now we are complete.
Also, for everybody's awareness, we now have the full number of modules you can have on the ship.
That's true. So if you want to add anything else, you have to kind of swap it out.
Okay. I'm clearing our damage.
I just undischarged shielding also. For everyone's awareness, we have sensor array, auto dock, surgery, research lab, stealth systems, shielding, lasers. Everything a growing ship needs.
Yeah. All right. So now that that's taken care of, I think we just saw Nasir, you send out that message asking everyone to meet up to presumably discuss the message you just received on the slate. Is everybody headed right to that meeting, or do we catch anyone sort of doing something before they attend that?
I think that Mara, after she checked out all the books at the library, headed back to the research lab for two main purposes. One, to be able to finish the analysis that she did on the kind of dust that came out of the beacon. And the second is to begin to contemplate how she can use all the information that she's gleaned from like these devices, from the beacon and all that, to figure out a way, like a weapon or some form of shutting them down.
Okay, so this is like to attack the devices essentially and yeah. find some way to stop them.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess let me ask you, what do you think that looks like in terms of like the form of whatever you're trying to build?
So I took for my upgrade EMP grenade. So when a lava grenade, instead of dealing harm, you may choose to disable electrical and energy-based technology used by your targets. So I'm not imagining that me checking that just gives me the power to like explode the devices forever and solve all of our problems. But what I would like to do is to kind of finagle this playbook ability into a plot solution.
Okay. So it's kind of like modifying them to like the ghost ship's weapon to target
exactly.
these devices in particular. Okay. I really like that. So I think I want you to do is go ahead on your playbook and add a personal project. And I think I'm going to call this a 4-tick project. So you can go and set the clock to 4 ticks. But I think that you have, let me see. Yeah, but I think that because you already have the research lab on the Valiant, I think that one of the benefits of that is if you're working on a personal project, you can use that to check off an extra tick. So I think if you're working on that now, you can set it to 4, but then go ahead and mark off 2 of the 4 ticks on that.
I'll do. I'm going to name this one Bomb.
Okay.
Nothing Perfect. Else.
All right. So I think while you're working on that, though, in kind of response to your first question, I think you're interrupted by a message on the screen in the lab. And that is the results from the testing of the dust that you found inside the device that you covered from the Loa system. And for everyone's kind of reference, you had previously rolled for that. And I kind of said I would give this to you once you get back to Ascension. So when you found it, I mentioned that the dust appears like what you'd find on the surface of an asteroid or of a moon. But even just looking at it at the time, you could tell that the color didn't match the surface of the asteroid where you found this thing in the Loa system. And the results from your testing confirmed this. They reveal that it couldn't have come from anywhere in the Loa system. In fact, there's only one place that the test says is a possible match. And that is the second moon of Aventine, Aventine 2b. And I think I'll add that when you compare that result to the information that you have from the detector you set up, this is the one using the FTL transmitter on Ascension, you see that a powerful signal, sort of as if several were overlapping and adding to each other, is coming from the Aventine system. And the strength of that signal dwarfs what you've seen from the kind of earlier or more prototype models elsewhere in the Verge. How does Mara react to getting this information?
I think this was the final confirmation that she needed. Of course, we already had information given to us, right, that the circuitry can kind of be traced back to Aventine, traced back to this Nemirov Design Bureau. But one piece of data isn't enough to, like, really seal the deal for her. But I think that she has maybe a half a second of feeling a satisfaction of, like, solving the problem, right? And then turns her attention to the book on, like, EMP devices. Not even really savoring solving that problem, but just on to the next thing, which is I've discovered the source of these devices. How do we take care of this, like, once and for all?
So I'd mentioned that Nasir was sending out this message asking everyone to meet. Does Mara receive that, or are you kind of too buried in the books? Or, like, you know, what do we kind of see on your end when everyone's getting this message?
I'm going to invoke my hook, solving that. No, no, I'm going to do that right now. It is very, it's apropos to the character, right?
No, I like it.
I think her
slate. If you're willing to take disadvantage, I would absolutely allow that.
I just think it's a flavor. I think yeah. I'll just deal with the flavor. Yeah.
Flavor Town hook.
Yeah. Flavor Town Express. I think her slate has been like kind of off to the side.
Yeah.
And you do kind of see her engrossed. Maybe the book that she picked up on minerals and geology has multiple sticky notes or whatever in them that she used to like feed into the pocket LCMS or whatever she was using to analyze the soil samples. And now she's turned her attention to the EMP book, and she's just looks like a scientist of another era. Like not even the era we're in right now, like you and me as people, but back when you actually had to look at books and take exhaustive notes and really figure things out.
So, and I guess let me ask this to the rest of the team. Like, is the meeting location the wardroom? Is that kind of where we've designated for our team only meetings, or where do we think that's happening?
I think, yes, the wardroom, but I think one thing about the wardroom has changed. And I think sitting in the wardroom, I just go, Cassandra, cease all video and audio recording function in this room. I think we have requested permission to be the authority there.
Yes, I think you say that, and I don't even think you hear her respond. I think you just hear a beep that shows that it's deactivated. Does anyone go looking for Mara if she's not there? Or how do you want to contact her?
I think when Leela sees that Mara hasn't shown up yet, she kind of knows that Mara's probably in the research lab because that's her favorite haunt. So I think she'll go down there.
Okay. So maybe just see kind of the door slide open and Mara has her head in the books.
Mara?
Leela?
I'm guessing you haven't checked your slate.
I think she kind of like nods knowingly and closes her eyes. She's like, all the way across the galaxy, nothing has really changed. I assume I've missed some important meeting or a summon?
Yeah. Apparently, Nasir wants to meet with us urgently.
Oh, joy.
And then I think as she says urgently, she'll take a seat. Because Leela is not really happy with Nasir right now and doesn't much care that she's in a hurry. So I think she'll just take a seat and see that Mara's got all these books open and say, so what are you studying?
This one right here is on the practical technological applications of electromagnetic-based weaponry. I think she's even like, you can tell that she's a little exhausted by this. You know, I'm starting to feel like a bit of a character in a story where no one knows how science actually works and thinks that scientists can just endlessly apply themselves to a new discipline and glean all the knowledge they need and generate all the answers for every problem they encounter. Anyway, so I'm trying to design for lack of a better term, a bomb that will take out these devices.
Well, that sounds very important. And then I think Leela's going to kind of shift in her seat a little bit and say, you mentioned the possibility of attracting the ghost ship. Is that part of what you're learning to do?
So Mara will meet Leela's gaze and say, I'm not going to tell you that I
believe you have encountered sapient alien species. But, and I think she gets up and she goes and grabs the book on alien life that she checked out.
Mm-hmm.
There are individuals smarter than me that genuinely believe that first contact is imminent. To your question, regardless of if the individuals piloting the ghost ship are a nefarious human faction or otherworldly, other species, like, it would behoove us to encounter them where we have the upper hand, where we can plan, where we can lay in wait. If I can turn this device back on, we might be able to set it off somewhere and wait for their arrival, perhaps. Then we can settle this mystery once and for all.
I think Leela nods and says, thank you for taking me seriously. I didn't know how much I needed that. And did Mara, like, offer the book to Leela?
Yeah, you're free to open it up, but I'll tell you what's inside.
Okay. I think Leela's gonna look down and crack open the book.
Yeah. It is just all you're seeing are intense equations. Well, with, like, a handful of like, obviously, if you've read Feynman subnote, 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 then this will be easy for you to interpret. So I won't spend a lot of time explaining this. And then the next thing is a giant fucking equation that is unintelligible to most human beings. And so I think Mara kind of, like, laughs when she sees you open it. And she's going to say, frankly, it makes no sense to me. Amir is truly on another level. But I think he would appreciate hearing about your experience. One day, you should meet and talk. Once all of this is blown over. She's going to kind of gesture.
I think Leela nods and there's a small smile on her face. I think she'll close the book and say, well, thank you. Now, I think if we don't go up to the wardroom, Nasir might actually explode.
I hope this is the original problem or the subset of the original problem and not a second or third problem. I think she's just kind of like, as they're walking out, they're kind of just discussing the myriad of
issues.
Yeah. Issues, yes. Personnel difficulties we've been having on the Minerva project.
Okay, so I think at this point we cut back to the wardroom. Is there any, like, line that we get from Arno and Nasir to each other? Or what is it kind of like with the two of you left in the room when Mara and Leela walk in?
I think I've probably already briefed Arno with them not coming in because I'm a little panicked.
Oh, I see.
Or not panicked isn't the right word, but like...
anxious. Like
anxious. And so I think you catch us like mid... brainstorm.
Yeah.
It is very unnerving that they understand, they know about these devices that limits the number of people who it could possibly be.
Yeah, I think then the door opens and the two of you walk in.
What do we miss?
Close the door behind you. And then I will bloop onto the screen the message.
Yeah.
I think Mara just kind of sits down in a chair with a neutral expression on her face, like, of course this is happening.
It appears that the person with my secret has done exactly what we expected them to do, and I am now being actively blackmailed.
So this person knows that we found something on Feronia and has enough access to the library or to your person to know what books you check out.
They know a little more than something. They know about the devices.
They're also in The Verge and were able to plant a video surveillance device inside a secret apartment run by a member of the Aventine Consulate.
But they seem to not know that we sent the device from Feronia back with the fleet. And if they're asking about this one, perhaps they don't know about the device we just picked up from the Amity.
I am relatively confident in my ability to handle this person for now and their current request. But I'm going to need everyone's help if we're going to figure out who they are. Assuming, of course, anyone is interested.
Have you tried asking them?
Oh, there's a thought.
No, here. And I just reach for the slate. I'm not going to... Then I look at him and I'll say, I'm not going to send anything. Just trust me. And I just type in the words, fine, period. What should I call you? Question mark. And I pass the slate back to Nasir.
Well, that is rather adept way of handling it. And I think you watch me delete the word fine and hit send. Just what should I call you?
So you press send, and I think I'd mentioned that the number had changed every time you received this message, and you get back whatever the response is for when something is not in service.
Given the quote, I'll be referring to them as Albert. If they don't like that moniker, they're more than welcome to argue about it. At this point, I get visibly sort of bashful. Will you help me track him down?
What do you plan on telling him?
Currently? I'm not entirely sure. I'm gonna go to the library, and I haven't decided what I do from there.
If they're telling the truth, if they're trying to stop another war, then why are they going about it this way? Why not just come to us?
I don't know. If it's Mateo, it's because he couldn't control me the other way.
You still think that's an option?
I don't know. And there's like a lot of pain on my face. And I think it's not just pain that Mateo could have done this to me, but it's like pain that I believe, like it's like a sort of self-loathing that I think Mateo could have done this, and that's where my mind went. Like, Arno was the reason I checked in to see if Mateo was safe. My first thought wasn't to make sure he was okay. It was that he might have been the one to do this. And I think that that's where a lot of this is coming from right now.
The awkward moment when Mr. Classified cares more about your ex-husband's safety than you do.
Yep.
Nasir, just tell us what we need to do. Of course we'll help you. And she gives a small smile.
I think Lilo reluctantly nods.
I think at that, my heart sort of just melts. And I like return the smile and the nod. We need to track them. Figure out who they are. They've attempted communication from two different devices. Both devices have since been shut down. I don't really know what can be gleaned other than... And then like an idea occurs to me. And I think you see it on my face. And I pause for just a second and say, I don't know where we can begin tracking them. Any ideas? And I turn to Arno.
It would be helpful if he kept talking. We need to create as many opportunities to identify him as possible. I don't think any one message will do it.
At that, Mara will kind of pipe up and say, I have definitively located the point of manufacture for the device we picked up from the Amity. And she'll throw onto the screen the Aventine moon that her analysis like indicated.
How does Arno react to seeing that?
I think his eyes widen. And he offers, I've been there during the war. I was stationed on 2B.
If we're going to move against the facility, we need to start peace negotiations
between these factions immediately. Otherwise, we're just going forward with Nico Torres's plan, but without the element of surprise.
What do you envision?
I think that we need to call all the players to the table. Aiden Quiros has stayed out of the limelight for too long, and if I may speak for the president, she'll be much more effective here than in some office in Montreal. The hardest part of arranging a peace summit right now would be not having any diplomatic ties to the Aventine government.
I have an idea for that, but there's something I need to do first.
Hey everyone, it's Mo. Hope you're enjoying the show. Just popping in to say that as the winter season approaches, assuming that you're all caught up, our next two episodes are going to be a two-part holiday special returning to the wonderful town of Hemsworth. Reprising her role as our GM will be Haley Daria, and joining us as a special guest star will be my roommate and good friend Grant Hammersma. We'll be back to the next arc of Convergence and see what's going on with the Minerva Project on January 15th. Until then, follow us on social media at Worlds Away Pod. And if you're enjoying the show, let your friends and family know. Now, back to the episode.
So, Mike, if that's the last line of that scene, where do we see Arno go next?
Arno is making his way down to the Republic's prison on Ascension Station, or I guess it's really more of like a holding facility than a prison proper.
I think we're in 2275. We've kind of gotten rid of the carceratory state as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, anyway, place where they would hold, where they would be holding folks that have committed crimes, you know, like treason.
Yeah.
I want to go see Shaw.
And so where do you think you're seeing him there? Is it in one of the visiting rooms where we saw Leela meet with Nasir?
Yeah, Director Green has a sense of humor, and because of the sensitive nature of this, we're actually in one of the conjugal visit rooms.
Oh, it's going to be like that scene, isn't it?
I just wanted to see John's face. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was like, the tone breaking is too much.
Is there like funky sax playing in the background? Somebody getting a pizza delivered?
There's a heart-shaped bed and there's a heart-shaped spa.
Or like a plumber's got to lay some pipe.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So I think this is just a visitation room. It's a private one. So it's not an area where everyone else is doing their visits like you might see in a present time like prison. It's just a room. There's some privacy afforded for me to meet with Shaw.
Yeah, I think when we described the last one, we had said there was kind of tacky art on the wall. And I think that one was like a city on Earth. And that was kind of the irony. What do we think the art is on the wall of this one?
This one's depicting our solar system.
Oh, okay. Like a kind of solar system map.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it just says, it says no place like home.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is it kind of the pale blue dot photo? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Something like that. But like, I feel like Saturn is prominently featured in this one. I don't know why, but that's coming to mind.
Okay. I like that.
Is Pluto there?
Pluto did come back for a minute, but has left again, unfortunately, by the time of Convergence.
Yeah, it's because we bombed the shit out of Pluto.
Pluto was actually blown up. Yeah.
There we go.
Sorry, Pluto.
Me and Lauren.
We didn't appreciate you.
Anyway.
So I think we see you sitting across from Shaw, and what's Arno looking like sitting there?
Let me ask you, because I've been kicked out of FSOC. Have I been discharged? Am I still Lieutenant Hines?
I think what Mendoza said is that she can't fire you from the fleet, essentially, while you're still assigned to the Minerva Project. But, you know, you're not coming back to FSOC, and that's kind of her club.
Okay.
But, you know, once you're back, you're going to get kicked out of the fleet.
Okay, so I'm not wearing sweats right now. Got it.
You're still in the fleet uniform?
I'm still in the fleet uniform. It's lost a little bit of luster. I don't know what it is about it. There's nothing disheveled about it, but Arno's entire aura right now is muted somehow. Almost like he's retreated it within himself. And he's like there physically present, but there's a sharpness missing. And I don't think it actually has to do with the conversation he had with Mendoza. I think it's has to do with the man he's sitting across the table from right now.
Yeah.
And what he's done to him.
So I think if that's what Arno looks like, we kind of get the reverse shot and we just see Shaw's face. And I think more than anything else, in terms of like what emotions you see or what his face looks like, he's just kind of appraising you. But after a sort of long, very uncomfortable silence, Shaw says, "You know, Arno, I try to avoid living in the past, dwelling on regrets. But back on that park bench, I sure wish that you had chosen to trust me."
If we had had that conversation after Eos, I might have.
"I saw your press conference on the news here. Who knows, maybe it bought you some time. But the trouble with putting these things out in the open is that sometimes, even with the same facts, folks can have a very different impression. All these years leading up to the vote, with both sides just preparing for war, well, it's like we never even had an armistice to begin with. Either side could justify starting a fight now, and once the war begins, you have to know it won't take long for each side to circle the wagons, rally around the flag. Now, all that said, my concerns with that particular issue might be ignoring an even bigger problem. Unless you or the fleet did something I'm not exactly privy to in here, you've still got someone out there with those devices. And now, maybe someone with a whole lot more reason to use them."
"We know where they're being made, but we need help stopping it."
"Well, I'm glad to hear that you're making progress, even without me, but, and he kind of just looks around in the room, and maybe his vision lingers for a second on the the picture of the solar system on the wall. And he says, "I'm not exactly sure how much help I'm in a position to provide."
"I need Scion."
"Ooh."
So I think when you say that, his expression changes. You know, I think Shaw's normal mode of communication is kind of playful banter. And I think that his face, just any kind of smirk or smugness is immediately wiped off his face. And he has a kind of stern look. And he says, "I told you back in the park, I'm not going to give up Scion. They've risked too much for this already. And all that's gotten us is me stuck in here, and Earth and Aventine back at each other's throats. And, well, however much I like to complain about the movie selection in here, I can't imagine that Aventine's hospitality would be better for Scion."
"I need to know more about the facility where these are made. I need to shut down that facility."
"And how do you know that by shutting this place down, you're not going to start another war?"
"I don't. But the only thing that we omitted from our press conference was the existence of these devices. Aventine still has first strike capabilities. And they think that we do too, and that might be the only thing stopping them from taking action. I don't know how much longer they're going to wait."
So at this point, I want you to go ahead and roll. And I'd like you to roll plus Slick for Manipulate.
"Can I invoke War Eternal?"
"Oh. I think you might be able to. Hold on, let me look at the move. Yeah, I think you can. So yeah, go ahead and roll with advantage."
"All right. That plus zero slick with advantage. Oh, fuck. That's a fail.
Not great.
And you don't have a plus on that.
I have a plus zero on slick. It's funny because I thought about taking the plus one when I leveled up.
All right, so go ahead and mark XP.
Yeah. I've only rolled twice today, and both of those were fails. Hmm.
So I think Shaw leans back in his chair and then kind of leans forward again and says, "And I have your word, you're going to keep them safe. Right, Arno?"
"You have my word."
So I think he kind of leans back in the chair, and I think you see him kind of fidgeting for a little bit. And I don't think that we can really tell what he's doing in the shot, but it looks like he's kind of moving his hand under the table. And then you see him kind of making a pinching motion with his fingers. And he says, "I was able to get a pencil from a set of art supplies, but paper in here was a little harder to come by." And then he slides across the table to you a rolled up single square of toilet paper. But through that, you can see the imprint of a series of letters and numbers. "I memorized one page of the pad just in case something like this should ever happen. But if you give this to Scion, they'll know that I vouch for you."
How do I give this to them?
"At the edge of the park, most of the way back toward the consulates, there's a memorial for the people of the Verge. The ones who didn't fight on either side, but who paid for it anyway. It's not the most prominent thing in the park, but the memorial is a series of small stone markers with names etched onto both sides. Whenever I have a message for Scion, I take a stone from the landscaping by the fountain and put it on top of the second marker from the left, the one with Sasha's parents on it. And then I leave my message under the bench. Now, if they want to get a hold of me, or when they have a response, they'll throw a coin into the fountain, a real one from Aventine. But every once in a while, they clean that thing out, so I hope you don't mind adding a walk to your routine whenever you're here on the station."
"Thank you, Shaw. And I'm sorry."
Do you take the paper?
"I do."
So I think when you take that, he says, "Oh, Arno, one more piece of this that's been gnawing at me. That ghost ship, you all really still have no idea who's behind that? Not even a theory?"
"We have one possible lead from an indexing session with an unconscious person hooked up to a med bay that may have interacted with aliens." And I say that completely deadpan, making eye contact.
So I think Shaw looks at you for a second and then kind of lets out a laugh. And he says, "Well, I never really took Leela for someone who dabbles in fantasy. But in my experience, whenever I hear a story about some monster that goes bump in the night, more often than not, the thing folks should be afraid of ends up looking a lot more like you or me." At this point, I think we see Arno walking out of the building where they're keeping Shaw. And what I want to know is, what do you do next?
"I walk leisurely to the park. I don't break my pace the entire way there. I find the memorial. I take a rock and I put it on the statue of Sasha's parents. Then I take a seat at the bench. I write a note on the paper that Shaw gave me, and I leave it underneath. And then I walk away straight to the Valiant. And on the note under the bench, it just says, Aventine 2B need to stop the production facility ASAP.
So I think we see you walking away, but then I think we see another figure in the park behind a tree who appears to have been observing you throughout this entire process. And as they take a step out from behind the tree and begin walking on the path as if nothing had happened, we see that this person is Ramon Herrera, the former Aventine Vice Consul. But at this point, I want to cut away to Nasir, who we see in the library, the same one we saw you in earlier. And what I want to know is, what do you do in the library?
I think I go into the library with a bag of books, and I go and I withdraw, grab from the shelves three books of varying colors. One that starts with an S, one that starts with an O, and one that starts with an L. And I walk up to the front desk, and I sort of smile at the librarian, and I pull from my bag three books and say, "I'll be leaving these with you." How does she respond?
I think it's the same librarian who we saw before. I don't think she says anything. I think maybe you're enough of a regular there where she just recognizes you. And I think she takes the books and smiles.
I have one question for you. I know you have a section on historical Terran texts. Has anyone withdrawn anything written by Albert Camus? And I think I will pull out from the bag a very small potted flower and place it on her side of the desk.
Bribery.
It's yellow.
Of course, it's the legal. Librarian is also a plant nerd. God, stereotype.
I mean, she's also in the Aventine Library. Like, I'm communicating.
Use your sexy charm.
Sex appeal. Boom.
I'm trying to think if this, like, if you're allowed to roll for this even.
Is this allowed? Who's making the rules here?
I mean, you can pick what the lead is, even if I get a lead. Like,
roll plus slick.
That's a 7.
Oh.
That's a 7. I have a plus 3. Definitely shouldn't have given her the flower first.
So I think she gets a very stern look on her face. And she slides the flower back across the desk to you. And I think we kind of see your hand touch it. The dyed hand. And I think she says, "You should know better than to ask what somebody else has taken from a library. Why is it that you want to know this?"
They're holding on to something precious to me.
I think when you say that, she looks at you and maybe gets a knowing look on her face. And I think she says, "I can't share what you asked, but if you have a message, I may be able to pass it along."
"I have one message. I would rather live my life believing there is some good in the galaxy and die finding out there isn't, than to live as if there isn't and to die finding out there is."
So I think you say that, and then we see Nasir walk out of the library, and I think the last shot is her putting the books that you left into one of those drawers behind the counter, and then we see the drawer roll shut.